Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. The Gospel is the text for today. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. For those who live on the land, harvest time is a crucial, a critical and important time. Farmers are basically gathering off the harvest that will produce the food for us that we enjoy as we sit down to breakfast or lunch or tea. Harvest is the time of reckoning, the time of the outcome of a harvest can make or break them. Today we move into the Advent season, the new church year. We do so by hearing a gospel lesson which announces the coming of Jesus. These words also speak of a harvest that is crucial and critical for time and eternity. On the one hand, these are words that give hope and comfort. They give assurance and certainty, confidence of a great future, celebrating with our Lord and with all those who have gone before us. After the distress that accompanies the last times, there is the glorious outcome. Here we have in Mark's Gospel, we have a prophecy announcing that salvation is the outcome for the elect. But they also give a timely warning to watch, to be alert, to be on guard. For the critical time and the hour of Christ's coming, for his harvest, to be caught sleeping and unprepared is to suffer eternal loss. Here we read that God gives signs of his coming, announcing that the crucial hour is near. The great day is heralded by cosmic signs. These signs are described in symbolic language, much as we might find in the book of Revelation. There is an element of mystery about it in Mark's Gospel. There are signs, but no details. That is as it should be, for our focus, attention, is not to be on working out a timetable for the end days, but on the appearing of the Son of Man, coming in clouds with power and great glory. With his appearing comes our salvation, the final rescue of his people. The Son of Man will send his angels to harvest, to gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. This will be a joyful gathering of all whom God in his mercy has chosen to be his. Those who have been scattered by suffering and persecution will be gathered, brought home. Suffering will be over. This final gathering, this great harvest, take place by Christ's power. And since this is so, we as the elect of God, who he has chosen through the waters of holy baptism, are called to learn the lessons provided in nature. When the twigs of the fig tree become tender and its leaves appear, we have a sign that summer is near. In the same way, the signs that God gives us reminds us that the hour of God's harvest is near. Yes, right at the door. In the sense, fulfillment is taking place already in this generation, in the present. At the same time as there are signs, the truth is we do not know the hour. The final hour in time. Indeed, we do not need to know the exact details, the when or the what or the how. Our only need is to heed Christ's call to be on guard and to be alert. Those who know of this final gathering await this with joyful, wholehearted, faithful watching and waiting. But what does this look like? Joyful, wholehearted watching with confidence is watching with faith in Jesus Christ. This faith leads to a life of active love and service. It's a life of serving the neighbour's needs by carrying out tasks assigned to us. It's a life of being faithful in our station and vocation, whatever that might be. It will also be a life of fulfilling the mission Christ has given to his church to share the word of God, to pass on the good news of the gospel that all may be ready to receive Christ. We do that in part through our life of worship, of hearing and teaching the word. Will the Lord find us watching when he returns? Unfortunately, this is not what the Lord found when he came along ago, and he often does not find it today. What he finds instead is often a loveless, reluctant, fearful watching, which is really no watching but sleep. No wonder the words that Jesus gives us in the gospel include a strong warning. Watch. Be alert. Be on your guard. Do not let the owner of the house find you asleep. We shouldn't be quick to pass off this warning and say, well, it applies mainly to the unbelievers out there. To those who are asleep in sin and unbelief, we shouldn't be quick to think that this warning does not apply to us, telling ourselves, surely we are watching. Here we need to learn from scriptures. If there was ever an outpost of watching in the world, it was Jerusalem, the chosen city of God. The temple was there. The Orthodox religion was supposedly there. But you couldn't be too sure the further you went from Jerusalem to places like Galilee and Samaria. And in Jerusalem, surely it was the Pharisees who were watching and awake. They kept the law so seriously. But it is just Jerusalem and its religious establishment which comes in for harsh judgment and condemnation by Jesus, for they are not watching already. They are asleep. Doom and destruction would soon fall on the city and its people. While Jesus' call and warning to watch is a call to all to watch, this call comes firstly to us as God's chosen people, not primarily to those out there. We are the ones who are to be watchful and ready. It comes to us personally as Christians, to us as church, through the word. How are we watching? Is our watching confident, faithful, joyful? Are we eager to serve, or is our service reluctant and lukewarm or motivated by fear? Are we watching with one eye looking backwards over our shoulder? Are our lives full of excuses to ourselves and each other, and maybe even God? This is watching based on the Lord, trying to be active and ready to face the Lord based on our own efforts. But if we live with such a basis for our life, there will be no God-pleasing activity or service. Faithful service for the Lord. Our watching, like that of Jesus' first disciples, will be a dismal failure, which he rebuked with words, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" The truth is, by our own efforts and actions, we can never truly keep watch and be ready for our Saviour on our own. Worse than that, we can become easy targets for Satan, who gathers his harvest while we are sleeping, while we are relying on ourselves and our own efforts and watching. So what's the solution? We need more than moralism, more than good advice or encouragement, or to just try harder at watching. If we follow this path, we can never be sure that we have done enough. It will lead us to either pride in that we have done it ourselves, or despair in that we do not know whether we have met the requirements or not. We need some good news, and we have it. Jesus is the key to faithful and joyful watching and waiting. Jesus, who came the first time years ago, is the coming one. He is the Son of Man, as he declares before the high priest. His hour comes at the events of his passion unfold at evening and at midnight, at cockcrow and at dawn, as the reading says. Jesus' hour comes above all in the hour of his death on the cross, where Jesus faces the hour of God's judgment for us. That hour holds the key to what will happen in the hour when Jesus finally comes again in glory and we stand before his face. That hour is the source of forgiveness and life, so we watch by holding on to Jesus Christ, having faith in him and trust in him that receives his mercy, that says, "It is finished." When we watch by faith in Jesus, then our concern as Christians is not that we must watch and work to be ready and saved lest Christ catch us out. Rather, watching by faith in Christ means being busy in his work. This kind of watching, which can only be born of the gospel, is a glad response to God's love and mercy in Christ. One final thought. Even as we watch and wait, we might be troubled by the thought, what if I fall asleep while I'm watching? What if I've come this far, but I fall away from my faith? One of the hymns of the church provides a wonderful answer when it says, "When we are watching, should slumber o'ertake us, Jesus, we pray thee, sustain and awake us." And he promises to do just that. When we are faithless, when we fall down, when we aren't watching, he comes to us lovingly in his word, and in the words of a neighbour or a friend, and he comes to us by the power of his Holy Spirit to awake us and keep us watching. Such faith always looks to God, relying on him and trusting and watching that he is watching us in his love. He will not let us be taken, snatched from his hand. In that we can be confident. So let us gladfully and joyfully wait and watch and work until our Saviour comes in glory to gather us to him. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.